Good morning. It was pretty average. Good morning. Even better. I expect more in Georgia. You guys are so friendly and nice. On behalf of the Anchor Church and my family, let me say thank you for your support of our six-month-old baby church plant. We could not do without you. There's no way. And so what's happening is we are partnered together for the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of ways I can show you what South Florida is like. It's a very lost culture. Just before Easter, Eagles Landing Academy sent a team of 30 football players and 10 adults, all men. I think they just ate steak every day. The testosterone level at our church plant was off the charts. And here's what happened. We had Easter cards. This will give you a picture of South Florida. We had these Easter cards, just simple invites that said, come to Easter at the Anchor Church, new church, here's a location, times, here's what you can expect. And we asked them to go to some different places on the main street where our church is located, and we asked them to pass these cards out and ask three questions. Do you go to church? Typically the answer is no in South Florida. If you went to church, what would you hope to find? And three, would you consider coming to the Anchor Church? So we dropped a group at Walmart, we dropped a group at Costco, and another grocery store. It said, just pass these out. We had them for 2 days. Just pass these out and take these surveys. It's really important as we diagnose the culture of South Florida in our church. So one group walked to Walmart, and they started passing out Easter cards. And they approached a woman who had a newborn and a big diaper bag. And as they approached her, I'm not going to say who they were, but one was a police officer in this area, and he's about this tall, and he was carrying his gun and his badge, and he has a mustache and light brown hair. So there, I didn't say his name. So they walk up to her, and they approach her, and they say, hey, you know, we're from the Anchor Church. We'd like to invite you to Easter. This woman got so nervous and so frustrated and so taken back by their boldness in sharing a card, just a card at Walmart, she rushed into Walmart, told the manager that there were people in the parking lot trying to rob her, and they called the police. I know this because I was watching at a safe distance, just surveying it all. Here comes the Pembroke Pines police. And you can see this discussion happening, and she says, they stole my car keys. That's how I know they were trying to get my car. And this is suburbia. This isn't like we're in the inner city. This is the culture of South Florida that's so untrusting of anything and anyone, much less a new church. So the police left once they saw the officer who you might know. They saw his badge and said, I'm not here to do anything but invite this woman to church. We got kicked out of Walmart, however, and Costco, and Sedano's Grocery, just for passing out a card that says, come to church. In South Florida, we have an untrusting culture. I don't know that it's much different from here, but let me tell you a few things about what we're up against. There's one church for every 6,500 people in South Florida. There's 5 million people between Miami and Fort Lauderdale. Just the city. It doesn't count the suburban sprawl. It doesn't count the immigrants in South Florida who would never let you count them in a survey. I'm not a mathematician, but I know that's clearly not enough churches. And so part of the mission of the Anchor Church, such as your church is to be a church-planting church. And pray for us that in 2016 we'll be able to launch our second church plant. There's a low percentage of evangelical churches. We have the second highest per capita gay population in the U.S. in Broward County, where we're planting. We have a notoriously liberal culture. We have liberal judges. We have liberal schools. We have some of the largest high schools in Broward County just minutes from us. In fact, the largest high school in the country with over 5,500 high school students is in our area. I led a club there called First Priority, a Christian club for students, and we could find only two Christian faculty amongst the hundreds that they have. Miami is the number two area for sex trafficking in the world. When the porn convention picked a location, Broward County was on their list, and they hold an annual porn convention there. Our county is 30% Jewish and 50% Catholic, which means 80% of Broward County doesn't go to church or recognize any type of religion for the most part. It's heritage and culture. And about a third of church plants don't make it. I don't know if it's that much different here, but I would imagine it's not. I would imagine that in this area there's plenty of lost people to go around, that there's plenty of trouble to find yourself in at a Walmart when you share Christ. The world is redefining the family for us. They're redefining marriage for us. And we're gathering, but we should be sending. And praise God, your church is a sending church. You saw examples of it this morning. That's what it's going to take. More churches sending more people to plant more churches, and not just in Western culture, America, across the globe. So to recap this hopeful message, statistically, we're doomed. The culture's against us. Satan, for sure, is against us. You're about to embark upon the story in the next coming weeks and months, in which you'll be asked to invite your friends and share the gospel. Satan is already against you. New moms with diaper bags are against us. It's tough for sure, but make no mistake, this is our time. It's not yesterday, it's not tomorrow, it's right now. It's not the 50s, it's not the 80s, it's not the future. It's now is our time. Whether you're old or young, now is your time to make Christ known, to commit to godliness, and to serve the city through the relationships that you have. That's the mission of the Anchor Church. It's simple, but it's streamlined, and so far so good. This is where I want to spend our time this morning, in Ephesians 6, because we haven't been left alone to face the world. God has given us his power, his armor to protect us. And what we're going to learn this morning is how we grow through our time and our place and our journey. And so before we get any further, we should pray. We should pray for God's strength and that the Holy Spirit would impact our hearts this morning and our lives this morning. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for Eagle's Landing. We thank you for a church that has a vision for South Florida. We thank you for a church that partners with the gospel of Jesus Christ, your Son. God, help us be strong in you. Help us to face tomorrow by depending on you today, God. And help it to be for your glory and your glory alone. Amen. So if you have a Bible, turn to Ephesians 6. I'll start in verse 10 and just go through a couple of these. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and he's been telling them how to be a church, what the things of church should be about. And he gets to the last chapter of the last part of the letter he's writing to them. He says this word, finally. Finally, as if Paul is saying, of all the things I told you to remember, this is the most important. So he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. The truth is you cannot be strong unless you're strong in the Lord. You cannot be strong unless it is God's power you're relying on. And this is how we are surviving as a six-month-old church plant. It's not us bringing people to church. We have this massive banner. It's 50 feet long and 5 feet tall. And for so long, I told our team, hey, banners don't bring people to church. People bring people to church. And then people started showing up because of the banner. And you realize that it is God doing God's work, drawing people to him. And your church and your church plant is just a part of the journey for them. In verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. You see, you start with God's power, and then you add God's protection. It seems so easy. It seems so easy to rely upon God, but it's not. It's way easier to rely on our own strength and our own power. You can be doing great godly things without the power of God powering you. And often that leads to frustration in ministry. This is saying, pursue godly strength is going to take patience, endurance, and discipline. It's really easy. I mean, if we were simply fighting the world, then worldly strength would be enough. But we are not fighting just the world. If we were fighting the world, worldly strength would be more than enough to get by. And you see your coworkers, your classmates, your friends fighting the world in their own power, filling their lives with stuff to fight the world, to feel better about themselves. South Florida is all like that. A newer car, a newer house, a bigger house. I know people who have moved three times in the same neighborhood to get to the bigger house, pursuing the world instead of pursuing the strength of God that fulfills them where they find their identity. Here's what we're up against, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers. That shows you it's not about the earth alone, over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. You know, maybe Walmart is not so tough a place to do ministry after all. And this is not even about your coworker. It's not about your classmate. It's not about the person you don't get along with. This is a bigger battle. It's for the kingdom. It's for eternity. The Bible teaches us that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He's not here for a tea party. Sweet tea party in Georgia. He's here for you and your family. And he's here to wreck you. So how are you going to withstand this moment when Satan comes after you over and over and over as he does? You're going to have to put on God's armor. What God is doing in these verses is instructing us to prepare us to fight in a battle. And here's the great paradox of God. He's preparing you to fight for something that's already been won. See, that's the part that makes it easy. That's the part that makes you simply rely upon God's strength, is knowing that the war is over. The battle was won with Christ. I coach basketball, my son's team, at the YMCA in Broward County. We were awesome last year. We were like a track team. We were blowing teams out of the water. It was an amazing day to be a coach at the YMCA for the 8 and 9 year olds. We were beating teams by 20 and 30 points, and I was like, I am an awesome coach. We're killing these little kids. Don't mock me. This year, we had a team that went 3-5, and we had nobody on our team but my son, who's a really good athlete. And at the end of the year, we lost in the first round of the playoffs, and this is back in March, and I'm over it. I'm working on it. And this little boy walks up to me, and he was one of the toughest kids to coach the whole year. In fact, in one game, I looked for him to put him in the game, and he was gone. He had left the game. And I was like, where'd he go? He got upset because in the first quarter, we took him out to rest him, and he thought he was being punished, so he left. He said to me, hey, today's trophy day, right? We get trophies. And I was like, trophies? We're in last place. Yes, little Johnny, we're going to get some trophies today for participation. Don't you love that? Don't you love that our world is saying don't compete anymore? Don't let your young men grow up to be competing in life anymore. Everybody gets a trophy. I'm over it. I'm over it. I'm not dealing with it anymore. I'm good. But I thought maybe he's on to something. Maybe this kid understands that the games, it doesn't matter. It's the reward at the end that matters. See, we're fighting a battle that's already been won. All he wanted was his trophy. He'd gone through the season, the practices, and most of all the games. And we don't get trophies at the end of our life, do we? We get Jesus Christ saying, well done. Wouldn't you love to be able to earn that? Isn't it amazing that it's just a free gift? It's like a participation trophy. You wore the jersey. You played. Here's your trophy. Good job. Well done. In verse 13, Paul says, so now, because you are in it, do this. Because you're in this battle, do this. Verse 13 says this, therefore, because you're up against things bigger than you can handle on your own, take up the whole armor of God. Not part of it, not a fourth of it, not half of it. Take it all, it's there for you. Why? So that you'll be able to withstand in the evil day, like Monday morning when you go back to work. That's an evil day. You're going to be working at a job you may or may not like. You're going to be dealing with people who are sitting next to you in a cubicle or an office space or somewhere where you do your work, and they're going to be annoying. They're going to be lazy. They're going to be different in your eyes. If only you could just fire them yourself. I wish you could see my view right now, because there's a lot of this and of this. Well, fortunately, God gave you armor that was not intended for you alone. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. See, God sends you into the battle of this world with everything you need. There's nothing you lack to take a stand for Christ today. Nothing. Not a word, not a college degree, not the right job, not the right career. He has supplied everything you need. Let me give you an amazing illustration. Last July, I was just pondering this church plant. And earlier in November, I was just pondering a church plant. And I was approached by some people in South Florida, and they said, you know, you're trying to do this college ministry where you get all the go to college campuses, and then you outsource all these college kids to local churches, and you have a team of four. Why don't you just plant a church? And I was like, that's for crazy people. That's what crazy people do. Crazy people plant churches. So in January, you know, we launched this church. Crazy people. But you're crazy too, because you helped launch it. And that's the amazing part, is God gave Eagles Landing and your pastor and your staff a vision to plant churches before I knew I would be standing here today telling you that our church is on the move. Can you comprehend the depth of God in that moment? The 360 nature of God, that before I even knew I was going to do this, he had already told you to do it. So that together, here we go. God gave Eagles Landing a vision to church me before I even knew I was a church planner. He prepared me by preparing you. Your obedience to God's call is my encouragement to continue to fight for the church. Let that sink in. Your obedience to what God is asking you to do is encouragement for others. It can be the same way in your office. Your obedience to God's word and sharing Christ where you are is an encouragement to somebody else who's trying to share Christ, who maybe just wants to see an example of what that looks like. So now that you have this armor, and now you're ready to do this, Paul says this, now that you have the armor, stand in verse 14. Stand, therefore, not sit and wait, not wear the armor of God and sit in church and sit in youth group and sit in community groups and city groups, as we call them, in Bible studies. Not sit and wait and grow big and fat Christian people. Stand. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. You see, the image is of a suit of armor back in the day that would be held together with this belt. The scripture is clear here. The belt gathers the armor. God's truth holds it all together in our lives. God's truth cancels our doubt. The breastplate protects the most vital organs, the heart, the lung, but this belt holds it all together. Your doubt, your fear, your worthlessness, all those things you think are true about your life, throw God's truth into it. Wrap your life with God's truth. See, I want us to learn this morning that a growing Christian binds their lives with God's truth. That's what you do in our time. In our time, to grow as a Christian, you wrap God's truth around your life. In verse 15, we learn the simple truth. God's truth always leads us to the gospel. It always leads to the gospel. That's why we struggle so much in dealing with the world, because their truth doesn't always lead to the gospel. It leads to sometimes some of the gospel. And there's a lot of pastors out there preaching some of the gospel and not all of it, because it's offensive. It's always been offensive. That's the best part of it. Paul says in 15, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. The shoes equal the readiness and the preparedness to share the gospel. And there's a question that's kind of hidden away, is are you wet? Are you ready? Do you have the shoes? Are you ready to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? As a Christian, you're ready. You have the power of the Holy Spirit powering you. You're ready right now. You're ready at lunch today. You're ready to the family member that didn't come to church with you today because they're not saved. Don't quit. Don't give up. This fight is already won. The belt, the breastplate, the shoes, these are all things that we have. Hence the word put on. We have them. And now we come to things that we are to have at the ready. In verse 16 and 17, it says this, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You see, the shield is there to withstand the emotional war. When the football guys were surveying people, they said, what do you hope to find in a church? And the number one answer was peace. The world wants the peace of Jesus Christ. And so how will Satan attack Christians? Emotionally, to wear you down, so that you won't share the good news of Jesus Christ, so that your attitude is no different than lost people in your workplace, or in your college, or at your high school, or your middle school. But this says you have a shield. So many in our country are burdened emotionally. Then you have the helmet, which is the hope of salvation, that we have it and that it will deliver us in our time of need. And then this is something amazing. He says, take on the sword of the Spirit. It's the only time he mentions a weapon. And the weapon is God's word. So how do you fight doubt and fear? How do you fight, will I make it in this life? You open up a Bible and let that sink into your life, because that ruins doubt. God's truth ruins doubt. My favorite part about this little verse is the flaming darts of the evil one. You would think that he would say, watch out for the spears, watch out for the arrows, but he says darts, because that's how Satan usually works. He usually doesn't bring disaster and calamity. He doesn't have the power to. He's under God's authority. But this temptation that comes after you, little by little by little by little, it's a little bit of doubt, a little bit of distraction, a little bit of discouragement. And after a while, that just goes a long way, doesn't it? And you start carrying all of these things with you. And Paul is saying, put the shield up, that your faith is bigger than Satan. In verse 18 and 19, Paul begins to end his passage to the Ephesians with the most powerful weapon, which is prayer. Let me just say how thankful I am for a church that prays for us, for people like Anita Whitaker, who I get cards from every month in her Bible study class, and for Bruce Mewborn, who texts me and calls me and emails me, and for Marshall Chambers, who I'm begging to move to South Florida. Paul says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. That's what you're doing by praying, by lifting us up. And also for me, Paul says, now it's personal, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. You see, we can mistake taking up the armor as, hey, finally, we're in control. Finally, this is about me. Finally, I have God's armor. Finally, I'm going to be successful in everything I want to do. It's so rare when God blesses you financially. It's often spiritually. It's most often spiritually that he blesses you with this feeling of peace. God armors us and still goes before us. The paradox of God. Put on this armor that you can withstand, because I'm going to be way ahead of you winning the battle. So what are we learning from this? The purpose of the armor is not to protect us from the world, but to send us out into it. A growing Christian uses the armor of God to proclaim the truth of Christ. A growing Christian uses the armor of God to proclaim the truth of Christ. So get this. get what Paul's saying, and let's bring in some deep context here. He's in prison writing this letter to the Ephesians, and he's saying, give me more words to speak the truth. Give me more words to speak God's mystery. Give me more words to proclaim Christ, and it's going to bring on me more hardship. He's in prison for doing exactly what he's asking for more of. Can you imagine having that kind of faith? Where no matter what is coming at you, you just keep saying, more, God, more. Maybe you're a lawyer. Maybe you're a coach. Maybe you're a mom. The word Christian goes in front of that. God's given you this platform of motherhood to make his son known. God's given you the platform of being a coach to make his son known. God's given you the platform of being a lawyer to make his son known. One of the members of our church is a coach in Broward County High Schools. And I was the chaplain for his football team for 4 years until he actually moved to this area, and then we moved back after about a year. And one day he came to me and he said, Eric, I'd like you to be the chaplain of our football team. I said, okay. He said, it's going to be difficult because the school is primarily Jewish and they're gonna not like that. So I want you to come and pray at the 50-yard line before every game with all the team. And I did that for 4 years. But this is how it happened. This coach was riding his bike and he was searching for God. He was a Christian, but he always thought that he was a coach and Christianity was just a side thing he did. And he said it was this, as if God spoke to him and said, Bill, you are a Christian who is a coach. Over the next 4 years, our student ministry in South Florida, which I formerly did for about 11 years, thrived, and a stream of football players kept coming through because of one coach's stand for Jesus Christ in an area where there was no stand being made. Paul is saying to us, more. Because I have the armor, I can ask for more. Because I have the armor, I can take more. Can you? The Anchor Church is in this battle as well. We're in it personally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Personally, sometimes when I'm writing these messages, you know what I actually think? Is anybody going to show up this Sunday? I wonder if there's going to be anybody that's going to get to hear it. We literally, about 3 months ago, started a worship service with me, our worship team, my mother-in-law, who's 82, and someone else. We ended with about 40 or 50 people. But that's one of those moments where you're like, okay, here we go. We're going to honor God first. Emotionally, will our church make it past the 3 years that most do not? Physically, will we actually physically endure it all? Spiritually, will we see all that God has for us to see? It is a battle, but not a lonely one. You're in it. We're in it. And we have the power of His Holy Spirit encouraging us along the way. Many stories from the Anchor Church to share with you. But this is one of my recent favorites. We started a college ministry about 4 weeks ago. We call them city groups. It's where care, fellowship, and community happen, and discipleship. And the groups can grow as big as they want. They just kind of facilitate their own needs. And we're hoping that as they grow bigger and bigger, one will say, hey, we want to be our own church. And they, off we go, we launch them. But we had 8 college students sitting in my living room, and I was just a participant, and we had one of our leaders who was leading it. And in walked a girl named Allie, who was a college junior who knew nothing about the Bible, literally nothing. Can you imagine a world or a place where a college student has never had a Bible? Well, welcome to South Florida. She didn't know that it was broken up into chapters and verses. She'd never been to church. And I know at the end you think this story is going to be, and she accepted Christ and she was baptized and she's a thriving church member today, but it's not there yet. Well, her mother has been battling cancer, and at the end of the first college meeting, our leader said, hey, does anybody have any prayer requests? And here's a person who's never really prayed. She said, I have one. My mother's battling breast cancer. Could you please pray for her? And so we did. And so Allie came back the next Monday. And Allie came back the next Monday. And the next Monday. The last Monday, we were discussing the prodigal son. And the story of how the father in the prodigal son welcomes his lost son back. And how God is like that Father welcoming us back with grace and mercy and open arms. And my leader was talking to her afterwards, and he said, it's as if she had never before associated the word grace with God. We pray that she receives Jesus, don't we? That she understands what that eternal grace is about. Paul asks for strength to proclaim the gospel. May we be so bold as to ask for the same. Because I guarantee where you go tomorrow, you will find another alley. You will find a girl or a boy or a mom or a dad or a family that does not know grace through Jesus Christ. Aren't there alleys all over the corners of the world? Can I ask you to do something this morning? Can I ask you to pray with me that you would be able to take on the armor of God, that you would be able to live out your faith through your key relationships? You see, you've been planted in neighborhoods to make Christ known, to love your neighbor as yourself. You spend 8+ hours a day in a place where you have influence. Make Christ known there. So that at the end of all this journey, we'll meet in heaven rejoicing as saints. The story you're headed towards is not you. It's a story of Jesus Christ. And that's the most important part of all of this. The armor is to proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you for the ministry that happens in this place. God, I pray for those gathered here today who need to know where you are. God, I pray that they would find you today, this morning, that they would simply ask Jesus to come into their lives. God, I pray for those here today who need boldness for this new year ahead. As teachers are preparing to go back to school, as students are heading back to campuses, as parents are engaging PTAs and football teams and basketball teams and clubs. God, I pray that you would give them the boldness to share Jesus Christ. I pray that they would go back and remember that they do have this shield. They do have this armor. This morning, if you're somebody who's been praying for boldness, there are pastors gathered here at the front who want to pray with you. Whether you're a middle schooler, a high schooler, a college student, a senior adult, or someone who's just trying to make it in your 30s or 40s. Today is your time and your day and your place to make Christ known where you are. You are not alone. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. You have the great God seated on his throne in full power. And you have his amazing son who died for you and took our place and our punishment and our shame so that you would have a right relationship with the king, the giver of the armor. God, be awesome in this place this morning. In your name I pray. Amen.